Cell phone dead. Not good for senior ditch day, especially when you've got places to be. I had no clue what time it was as I walked toward the closest bus stop on 30th Street. Ask the bus driver, I guess. This bus thing is still new to me. Of all days for my car to not start. Correction, my parents' car. It was usually that, or rides with friends. Never the bus. If I had just asked the bus driver earlier that day, then two stupid detours could have been avoided. Thankfully, the bus arrived at almost the same time I made it to the empty bus stop bench, where I noticed the cheesy ad of a slick, dark-haired real estate agent. "Trust me, Mark Rodriguez," it read. Must be a pocho like me. Half Mexican, half white. Not fully accepted in one world or the other. Too Mexican for some, not Mexican enough for others. I bet he can't even speak Spanish. Kinda like me. But did language have anything to do with it? Who made the rules on what being Mexican was or wasn't? I'd always been told to check a box, to fit in one category or the other. But it wasn't ever that easy. And why did it matter? I stepped on the bus and flashed my all-day pass, as if I were a public transit veteran. At the risk of blowing my cover, I asked the chubby driver if I was on the right bus. The one that continued through South Park, Golden Hill, and headed into downtown. He confirmed this with surprisingly little annoyance in his voice. I thought about asking him more questions. I had already messed up twice and been lost too much that day. So I lingered by the driver. "What time is it?" I asked him. The exhausted sighs of the few people waiting to get on behind me told me that one more question was one too many. But I stood there anyway. The driver's thick head didn't move. His sunglass-covered eyes were laser-focused straight ahead. I thought he didn't hear me at first. Then he finally spoke.
326, he said. Look, my job is to drive. Next question's gonna cost you a dollar.
Jesus Christ, where did the time go? Sure, a broken-down car and some rookie bus mistakes would make me late to the senior ditch party downtown, but 3 hours? I could hear the Mexican late jokes already. The laughter of certain white boys who seemed to be experimenting with racism and what they could get away with. I picked a seat toward the rear, closer to the Mexican junior high students in the back than those sitting near the front. Sitting in the back seemed more interesting, because the students were actually talking to one another, lounging along the rear wall and on the side benches, making it a communal area, everyone facing inward. I didn't fit in, but I wasn't trying to either. I was just there to eavesdrop on my way downtown. The most vocal were two teenage Latina girls with tightly pulled back black hair and heavy eyeliner. They were sitting adjacent to me, chatting away, occasionally going into a whiny, sing-songy Spanglish that was harsh on the ears. A Mexican guy with dark-rimmed glasses sat across from them. He looked more like a young college student who had recently adopted Che Guevara as his personal hero. Or at least his fashion consultant. We both sat there listening to the girls' chatter without staring directly at them, and knowingly glanced at each other once, aware that we were distracted by the same thing. As the bus started toward downtown, the two teeny boppers' piercing voices, foul language, and shrieking laughter were becoming intolerable. They were in that junior high stage when obnoxiousness and vulgarity made someone more popular among their insecure peers. But I guess it was pretty normal teenage banter. Then they said it, a word I had previously given little to no consideration.
"That's so ghetto," the skinnier one said. "You're ghetto," the other snapped back.
The Che Guevara guy's eyes lit up and filled with fire. Now he turned toward them, his brow lowered in distress. I didn't get it at first, but he'd obviously reacted to the word ghetto. I'd heard ghetto used in such a way before, but thought nothing of it aside from its technical misuse.
"I am not ghetto," the skinny one replied sassily.
"You are too ghetto," the other repeated.
"What?"
Che interrupted them. He seemed agitated, but more out of intense philosophical interest than raw aggression. As if he were an impassioned professor of social justice. Maybe it was the thick-rimmed eyeglasses. Whatever it was, the girls stopped their bickering. Shocked into silence, they turned their powdered noses and blackened eyebrows up at him.